Do I have any financially relevant relationships? No, I do not. So the title of this presentation is International Service Learning Experience, Positively Impacting Cultural Competence. And it was mentioned earlier that I'm with University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis. I'm a student there in a doctoral program, a DNP in public health nursing. And I teach at the University of Texas in Tyler, and I teach undergraduate nursing students. So the objectives: describe the impact of service learning on cultural competency, compare cultural competence pre- and post-service learning opportunity, and discuss the participant service learning experience. So the background of this is that cultural competence is important, and we all know that in public health, especially, cultural competence is something that we hear about frequently. The IOM report on nursing that came out recently talks about cultural competence and the relevance of that. Also, with the new health reform legislation, it discusses cultural competence and how that can impact the care of not only individuals but populations. And that's what we care about, right, is populations. Nurses, what's the role of nurses in providing cultural competent care? Well, I would say that nurses are on the front line of providing care, and oftentimes it's said that nurses provide care at the bedside as the front line in nursing. However, when you look at nursing, you see that nursing is in every level of the community. So nurses really are the forefront of public health nursing. The education in undergraduate nursing programs lacks cultural competence education. When I think back to my days as an undergraduate nursing student, if someone asked me what cultural competence was, I would stare at them with a blank face. And in my undergraduate nursing students, I see the same blank stares when we talk about cultural competence and how you interact with people of diverse backgrounds. Current studies indicate that service learning is beneficial in teaching cultural competence, but there are gaps in that research. And as Marjorie mentioned earlier, service learning is purposeful experiences where the student engages with a community or a group to reach their educational goals. And then I'll discuss some of my past experience with service learning. So nurses are the public health. They are the forefront of public health. This is a picture of a group of ladies and children in rural Guatemala. So this is one of the sites that my students have the opportunity to visit. Cultural competence and education. So nursing curricula focuses on the medical model with little room for cultural competency education. We're so focused on meeting the objectives of NCLEX. And when you look at that blueprint, there's not anything that says cultural competence. It talks about competently interacting with people of diverse backgrounds, but cultural competence is not specifically mentioned. So the current studies looking at service learning indicate that this is a beneficial thing for students. The models that exist use quantitative methods to have a pre- and post-test type measurement of perceived cultural competence improvement. And then there's studies that look at qualitative data and students' reflections of cultural competence. There's not any studies that look at this together. And that's really what I was trying to do with my study. So that's the gap, is that there is not a mixed method study combining the two, both quantitative and qualitative research, to really get to the heart of the matter and how is this impacting students' learning and what can we learn as we go forward in nursing education to improve our cultural competency. Service learning is beneficial in other research studies for improving cultural competence. And Marjorie was talking about that. There's a lot of studies that look at service learning, a lot, from nursing to physical therapy to pharmacy. There's all disciplines that are using service learning methods to teach something, whether it be cultural competence or increase their skills in basic nursing care, pharmacy, physical therapy skills. But cultural competence, I think, is especially relevant in our time, as our world is becoming more global, and The reason why this is so important to me, and I'll share a story with you from my days as a bedside nurse. In Texas, we have a large Hispanic population, and nurses would avoid caring for their Hispanic patients, their non-English speaking patients. It was a chore to go in the room and administer med or provide education or try and interact with those patients in any meaningful manner. And as a new nurse, that was so sad for me to see. I did not have any type of training to interact with people of diverse cultures when I was an undergraduate nursing student. So to be a new nurse at the bedside and try and make a difference was just incredibly difficult, and there was no role modeling, there was no positive example to say, you know, everyone matters in this hospital, whether they be black, white, brown, yellow, red, whether they speak English, whether they speak Spanish, French, any other kind of languages. There's not really that value that's placed in the medical model on reaching out to people. It's about doing your tasks and your charting in a timely manner. So that's why service learning and cultural competence is so important to me. And teaching my undergraduate nursing students, I want to teach them this. In past experience, I have had the chance and the wonderful opportunity to go to Guatemala as a student and then again as faculty, working with nursing students as they interact with people of diverse cultures. And my perception is that it does make a difference. This is a group of students that went a couple years ago. So the method for my study is service learning experience in rural Guatemala for undergraduate nursing students. We have several different sites that we visit in Guatemala. We were supposed to go in October, however, there was a lot of flooding. We were not able to go. Mixed method design using pre and post service learning experience using a cultural competency survey. And that's something that that I developed using research on other cultural competency tools. A lot of other cultural competency tools look at perceptions and ideals. And so I wanted to really focus on how nursing students think they'll use this skill in their future practice. And then the qualitative portion of this was journaling. Journaling has been recommended as an important tool for students to kind of put into words their thoughts and feelings so they can reflect back on their experience and learn from what their experience was. We work with a current, their in-country NGO. They welcome student participation. This is one of our students with a mother and her son. It's 1 week duration. The students participate in basic triage, they participate in education, they participate in pre and post-op, and that is an excellent experience to try and explain to someone what's going to happen during surgery using an interpreter, trying to communicate with Spanish skills that they have. In Guatemala, usually the patriarch speaks Spanish and the women and children speak Quechi, which is the native dialect in that area where we go. So trying to speak to the patriarch and explain everything while still acknowledging the patient is an excellent experience for the students. And then the cultural competency survey was administered prior to departure. The students had the opportunity to decline participation, and it was it's supposed to say non-blinded study of convenient sample from undergraduate nursing students, and it was a 20-item survey. The idea was that they would use journaling or reflective journaling to highlight their personal growth and advancement. And then this is something that the students keep, and we recommend that they reread it every couple of months to help them stay in touch with what they learned in that experience. So when they're nurses, when they're bedside nurses or public health nurses, that they hold on to those feelings that they had. Some of the themes that qualitative studies indicate is that it's a broad-based worldview. It opens up their narrow focus. These undergraduate nursing students are usually they're white, female, between the ages of 18 and 22. So they have a very narrow worldview. And this journaling is the idea is that it helps them remember that broad-based experience and an expanded worldview. And then cultural competency growth indicated in the qualitative review of journaling. Unfortunately, with the flooding, this study was not able to be carried out. That is a challenge working with universities. It's always the student's safety first, and it was deemed by the university that it was not safe for the students to go. So that is a challenge working with international service learning experiences. But predicted results is that service learning is a valuable tool to develop culturally competent skills in undergraduate nursing students. I think this is so important to their future nursing careers because 5% of our nursing students go into public health or another non-bedside type nursing field. And so when you're looking at this, you're looking at bedside nurses that don't have cultural competency. And what does that do to diverse populations? It can scar them from interacting with the U.S. healthcare system. She was a Hmong patient. She said to me that she would not ever seek care in the U.S. healthcare system because she was treated so badly. And this relates to sick care and preventive care. And that's what we're trying to move towards is preventive care. We want our nation to be healthy, whatever color, whatever your background is. And so nurses, bedside nurses, need to be cultural competent. So that's the translation to their future nursing career and the benefit to the U.S. healthcare system. Challenges, again, I mentioned safety of the students. Universities have huge bureaucracy. If it's deemed that anything is a threat to the students, then a trip will be canceled at the last minute. Cost to students can be prohibitive. A lot of times scholarships and their financial aid does not cover this type of international service learning experience. And then working in developing countries with, again, the safety issues, visas. For Guatemala, you do not have to have a visa, so that's one of the benefits of working in Guatemala. And then health risks. There is one site that this NGO serves in Guatemala, but you have to take malaria prophylaxis, and the university doesn't feel that they want their students doing this. So we have to stay in areas that are high enough altitude where this is not a risk. Expectations. So really what the expectation of this is, develop service learning experience as a summer course. Our university is looking towards a more global focus. It's hard to do that in nursing with all the prescribed curriculum that you must teach to take the NCLEX. A service learning experience in the summer would be an elective course that students could choose to take to meet some of their own personal educational goals, but not the university's educational goals. And then we could also add this to an existing course as part of their clinical experience, which is what we currently do. This is challenging. There has to be a 10-to-1 ratio of students to faculty. Faculty have to do their own funding. Again, that's an issue. And then in the future, I hope to seek grant funding because I think that the benefit of international service learning I think it's there. And I think that if the right person wrote the right grant, then our students could have some external grant funding and not have to pay out of pocket to participate in these wonderful learning experiences. Conclusion, there is a gap in the current educational curriculum in nursing school. I think as the IOM's report is brought into practice in nursing education, that this gap will close, but that will occur over time. Service learning can supplement their clinical experience and provide that necessary cultural education piece. And then the benefits to global society and public health are just astronomical. And so in closing, I would like to say you must be the change you wish to see in the world. And there's my contact information. Thank you.
Please join me again in thanking all of our speakers. We have some time for questions. Please, tell us who you are.
I'm James Dotson.
Okay.
Could you give a little bit more background as to why you chose an international setting as opposed to domestic settings, because there are a lot of cultural competence issues right here in the U.S. And the second question is, are there plans to assess the perspective of those receiving care in terms of whether they felt the care was delivered in a cultural context?
Those are great questions. Thank you for asking them. The first question, the reason why I feel international service learning experiences can be beneficial to students, you're correct, especially in southern U.S., we have, well, in the whole U.S., there's a lot of opportunities for students to interact with diverse cultures. My experience is that, however, they're focusing on what they're doing after they get done with that clinical experience. When you take them to an international setting, they're a sort of cohort for that time that they're away, and it's an immersion type experience, which can have them more focused on that particular experience than worrying about their date that evening or their test that the next day. So that's why I think that international service learning is crucial. And then the second one of our faculty in the graduate program did a video journal for looking at how recipients of care viewed their care experience. And she had some great findings, but I think that maybe in a more quantitative study, instead of a less qualitative study, that would be a great study to do. So thank you for suggesting that, and I'll start thinking about doing that as well.
The lady behind.
My name is Poetry, and I'm from New York City. I'm a cardiopulmonary bedside nurse. At the same time, I'm a clinical instructor, one of the colleges of nursing there. And at the same time, I do public health, in a way, research using the DPR and studying pilot case of Filipino immigrant cardiovascular disease. My question is, I usually ask, if they're like, oh, it's hard to learn all these languages. Biblical-wise, it said God did not allow Tower of Babel to be built, but now it's being built, right here in New York. Because I have to deal with Ghanaians in my work, with Nigerians, and with Caribbean, you know, all shades of black, and all shades of Spanish. I have to deal with Guatemalans, Puerto Ricans, and Dominican Republic. All shades of Latino. I have to speak Latino and use different kind of accents in a way just to build. That is the hospital setting. At the same time, being a public health nurse, which is the research side, I'm looking into what will happen to my patient who has a coverage in the community, the processes and all these things. Anyway, going back to your international study. And looking into the connection of nursing and community health workers. I know in Texas they're promotor. How are we nurses connected to that? Because promotors are in-house. They live in the community and continue our nursing care actually with them. So how are we going to raise that consciousness among our students? Because in my research, the way we gather data, I use my students from the colleges and say, come with me, and let's go to the community, and this is what I'm doing. The thing is, I am all levels of nursing, but the thing is, in the academia, we're kind of theory, we exoticize the experience of the other. Meanwhile, the other is just here.
Yeah.
And we are the other. I am the other. And I'm also the nurse. The nurse. So that's a beautiful story about going out and come back and relearn the story. Like, I knew some of my friends went to Guatemala and then they became conscious that, oh, I have to focus on Guatemala and New York. But meanwhile, we have the world inside us. And then go beyond the exoticity of that experience. and research and how to respond to this Tower of Babel kind of experience in them.
I think that's a very important point, but I think that's one of the things that the students, because their worldview is so narrow, when they have an experience like that, their world becomes less narrow, and they start becoming more and more aware. And I think that it's a process. I don't think that there's a Band-Aid that fixes the problem right away. I think it's something that occurs over time, and as they start thinking more globally about outside the U.S., outside their hometown, that they do become more aware, and then that translates into more cultural competent care with people from all backgrounds. So does that make sense?
Question?
Also regarding...
Will you tell us who you are, please?
Oh, I'm Linda Helmer, and I'm from California. Another question for the National Conference. There's been some work out there regarding the long-term impact of short-term student experiences, and I wondered if you considered any form of long-term assessment of the students on global warming. Can you really sustain that social consciousness that takes place and... then it's a really worth experience. I wonder if you considered long-term
I read a study somewhere that said for students to have a meaningful international experience, it had to be 3 weeks minimum. Hmm. I think in our current economy with our limited resources, 3 weeks is a lot to ask for that monetary contribution.
So a week, some may argue,
is not helpful in the long term, but I think that it does. It expands that worldview. So I think studying the long-term effects for students that have gone and have had this international service learning experience and following them, you know, a year, two, three, long-term would be a great study.
In the back?
I was wondering, and I'm sorry I forgot your name, but you have the yellow scarf.
Marjorie.
Remember what I want.
You said public health nurse agencies embedded within another agency.
Public health nursing centers embedded.
Centers, right.
Yes.
And we, I'm from California, and the university where I work was trying to do that, and issues arose about liability, and the legal people said that the university doesn't provide care, and so even if we had a space in the Family Resource Center, we could not operate and take referrals and do our own thing as a nurse center. You know, there was just too much liability. So how did you have that problem, and if so, how did you deal?
Oh yes, and we have met with both our the School of Nursing Council and the University Risk Manager, and the same kinds of issues arise. And a couple of things that we are trying to do to manage all of that. One is that if they are in an agency that provides healthcare services, then we're okay.
Right.
If we are in a social service agency that doesn't deliver healthcare services, then what we try to do is partner with the healthcare delivery system. So for instance, in Pigtown, where my practice is, we have a close relationship with People's Community Health Centers, and we are in the process of working out a contractual relationship so that in fact we do have that protection. And there's a good relationship between Paul's Place and People's Community Health Centers. And there's a good relationship between the university and People's Community Health Center. So we are then encouraging our other faculty to do similar kinds of things. For instance, People's Community Health Centers has 11 sites in the city. And so that, you know, if we continue to work and make this happen, those will be natural spots for us to set some of these kinds of things up. We find that the asset to that too, though, is that when you're in the health agency, your people are already in care. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a social service agency, you're reaching out to and capturing those folks who are uninsured, unconnected to care, and are most vulnerable. So it's a really essential thing to do, and you're absolutely correct. The other benefit that we have, and I will just make a quick statement about this, two things. One, is that we're part of an academic medical center. So I think it's time for the School of Nursing to have a partner with the academic medical center. And I think the time is now, because the medical center is now recognizing that they're not going to be paid for preventable readmissions. So all of a sudden, community public health nursing is looking a little more interesting to them. The other thing is, I think as a group, and I've heard it in all of our meetings so far, is that there is this separation between acute care nurses and public health nurses, and that has got to go away. That has got to stop, and we have to, I mean, we're all, for instance, I may be a public health nurse that focuses on MCH, or one that focuses on HIV/AIDS, but we're all public health nurses. We have to really break down the barriers between acute care and community-based care, and that's going to take some creativity and some real work, but I think it's essential.
And after all,
the time is now.
And after all, isn't social embeddedness what Lillian Wald told us all to do?
Yes,
all
right, those exactly years ago. Right. Low those many years ago.
And I need to thank you for your attention. It's 10 o'clock, and we need to adjourn. Thank you so much. Please join me in thanking them again.